In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this Jesus said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus said, make the people sit down. And Jesus took the loaves, when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The collect for the fourth Sunday in Lent is so very comforting and powerful. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning. And though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Would that we learn to believe this, to trust this. Food is necessary for the body, shelter, clothing in this climate in which we live. If we don't have food and water, we will die rather quickly. Notice how this indicates dependence upon that which is outside of ourselves. And you don't have to be a Christian to know that. And yet it's surprising how many people don't know that. For us as Christians, to know Christ and to believe in him is the most important, even if it means we go hungry, or we get sick, or we're persecuted, or we die, which, if the Lord tarries, will happen to each one of us. If we don't have Christ, a far worse fate awaits us. We die eternally. Because of our human condition, fear threatens even the most devout of Christians. Fear of sickness. Fear of losing the companionship of family and friends. Fear of losing those things that we enjoy in life. Fear of chaos and anarchy in the midst of a country that seems to be coming apart at the seams. The loss of freedom, the destruction of our way of life. These are just some of the fears. Ever since the day of Pentecost, the baptized faithful have gathered regularly to receive Jesus in his word and sacrament. It is what is described for us in the second reading from Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, and what happened following the Apostle Peter's sermon. As physical life depends upon daily bread from outside ourselves, so our spiritual life depends upon daily bread from Christ through his word and through his holy sacraments in order to sustain faith and to give us peace and an anchor and a foundation in the midst of the turmoil of life. So from Pentecost to the present, Luke describes so very simply but powerfully that those who received the Lord's word in faith were baptized and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which creates fellowship, in the breaking of the bread, the Lord's Supper, and in the prayers. The pattern of the life of the church in the book of Acts also indicates that faith in Christ is manifested in mercy toward those in the world and those within the household of faith, that the acts of mercy and compassion might be a reflection of the gospel of Jesus' mercy that we ourselves believe. Physical life and the threats of losing that life can be incredibly powerful. It's one thing to talk about it in the abstract, when we're feeling good, when we're feeling healthy, what we're willing to suffer But then when we're actually confronted with those things, quite often the reality is very different. In today's gospel, a multitude followed Jesus because they saw his signs, the miracles which he performed on those who were diseased. Jesus' miracles indeed drew big crowds. They drew multitudes to Jesus and they clamored about him. I want that power because I don't want to lose what I have and I want to gain that which I do not have. That's the real temptation, to see faith in Christ as a means to an end to get what our flesh desires. I mean, isn't that the purpose of being a Christian? Believe in Jesus, and then your life will be successful on your terms and according to your liking. Well, that's not what it means to be a Christian. At the end of the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus escaped to the mountain because he perceived that they wanted to take him by force and make him king. So while they believed Jesus could perform the signs, they did not believe in him. The issue is not that physical life does not matter. It does. We have a physical life. God created physical life. We are both body as well as soul conjoined together. That's a very good thing. The issue is that even our physical lives and their meaning and fulfillment and salvation depend upon Jesus, are rooted in Jesus, are found in Jesus. The greatest testimony to the importance of the physical life that you and I have is the incarnation, the enfleshment of the Son of God himself. He was conceived and born of our flesh. He became a real man for us, body and soul. He had parents and brothers and sisters and friends and neighbors, just the same as we all do. He also endured every form of pain and brokenness that sin brought into this world, including such things as the impact of disease and pestilence. Jesus wept at the death of his dear friend Lazarus and felt sorrow of sin that affected the lives of those whom he loved. But then he took this all upon himself. Remember in the garden how the burden of the world's sin and the judgment of the law that weighted heavily upon him caused him in the midst of his anguish to bleed and to sweat drops of blood. But he endured all of this in the body, what we are experiencing today, and a whole lot more, in order to redeem us with his holy, precious blood. So the issue is not that physical life doesn't matter. We don't throw away the bodies of Christians. We reverence the bodies at the time of death, and we bury them because the body is important. And we bury them in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection of the body to eternal life in immortality with Christ. So the issue is not that the body does not matter, that physical life doesn't matter, but that you and I have a life that we live, whether in times of great joy or devastating sorrow, that finds its peace and purpose in Jesus, who is both creator and also redeemer, whose self-giving sacrificial love teaches us what it is to be human and made in the image and likeness of God. This is one of the reasons why physical elements are employed in the sacraments. Jesus took bread. Jesus took wine. Jesus took basic physical things that God created. And then he joined himself to those physical things. It is a sign of how he has joined himself to you in your infirmities, so that he might restore and preserve our communion with God. this is my body for you. That's pure gospel. This is my blood shed for you. Pure gospel for you. This means that our physical lives with all of the trappings are important to him. But it also means that we cannot truly enjoy the physical life we have been given apart from Christ, who is the source of that physical life in his own incarnation, bodily death, and physical resurrection. Some Christians think that Jesus stopped being a man when he ascended into heaven. Oh, by no means. He remains true God and true man, seated at the right hand of God the Father. Through Christ, all things were created. And through Christ, all things were redeemed from sin and reconciled to God. Therefore, the right reception and enjoyment of all things without falling into idolatry and making gods out of these things is through Christ. Anxiety, despair, depression, hopelessness, fear of the unknown, these are all the symptoms of the disease of sin that permeates each one of us, at the heart of which is the doubt and the fears of unbelief. And it affects us body and soul. It permeates all of life's experiences. And it, at times, leaves us very lonely and isolated in our own pain and sorrow. But love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, all of which are fruits of the Holy Spirit born in us, flow from receiving Christ in word, in sacrament, in the very tangible and concrete physical ways in which he comes to us in preaching and in the Lord's Supper. For us as Christians, our faith is singularly focused upon Jesus, or there is no true peace under the cross of suffering. He is the one and the only one who, in the words of Isaiah, took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. With his stripes in the body, the scourging, the flogging, we are healed of the diseases of our body in time and eternity. By his suffering and death, we learn to believe that some things are more important than life itself, especially the life that we think we should have. The little details leading up to the miracle of Jesus' feeding of the 5,000 are important. Sinfully diseased multitudes followed him. The Passover feast of redemption from cruel bondage was near. Jesus lifted up his eyes and he saw the multitudes coming to him, and he asks that question, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" It is as if he wanted the disciples to realize, we don't have the means to do this. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, there's a lad here with 5 loaves and 2 fish. What are they among so many? And that is precisely the point that Jesus wished for them to realize. There is only one who can satisfy the multitude in the wilderness. Only one who can satisfy tens of millions of people the world over who are struggling body and soul under the weight of the fallenness of their nature. And that is the one who bore their nature for them. He is the one. The one who describes himself as the bread of life, the bread of salvation, the bread of the resurrection from the dead, the bread of peace and quietness under the cross of suffering, the bread that teaches us to love without fear of death and to bear the cross and to suffer and to die. Jesus said, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. So, there on the grassy hillside, the good shepherd fed his flock. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to them as much as they wanted. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? We do the same thing today. The Lord's Supper gives life, hope, comfort, and salvation to his beloved. In repentant faith, we come to confess our fears, to lay down our burdens, and in the words of the psalmist, to taste and see that the Lord is good. There are countless physical benefits to the Lord's Supper. Luther writes of this in the Large Catechism. We must never regard the sacrament as a harmful thing from which we should flee, but as a pure, wholesome, soothing medicine which aids and quickens us in both soul and body. For where the soul is healed, the body has benefited also. Why then do we act as if the sacrament were poison, which would kill us if we ate of it? And so we come in contrition and faith. And we do so singing another text of Luther's. Christ alone our souls will feed. He is our meat and drink indeed. Faith lives upon no other. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.